This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Congress may consider the question of online piracy when it reconvenes after Labor Day. The Protect IP Act passed unanimously out of a Senate committee in May. It counts among its supporters the Motion Picture Association of America, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and other industry groups that see the bill as an essential tool to protecting copyright. But it has vocal opponents as well. Google's CEO Eric Schmidt is among those who have denounced the bill as a threat to a free and open Internet. More than 100 intellectual property and cyber law scholars signed a letter to Congress last month urging lawmakers to reject Protect IP in its current form. And House lawmakers are now suggesting they may introduce a competing version of the Senate bill that addresses some of those concerns. David Levine is an assistant professor at Elon School of Law. He was one of the authors of that letter to Congress, and he joins me now by phone. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you for having me on the show.
What does the Protect IP Act aim to do, what are the goals of its sponsors?
So, yes, the bill itself is designed to address a problem which is unquestionably serious for intellectual property owners, and that's the proliferation of piracy, not just in the United States, but outside the United States. And the bill is designed, or at least its intention, is to give increased powers not only to the government, but also to private plaintiffs, that is copyright and trademark owners themselves, to bring an action that would allow a court to take a variety of actions aimed at removing an offending website from the Internet. And so the piracy issue, which is one which is, again, unquestionably serious, is one that brings a variety of proposals as to how to address it to the fore, and this bill would give sweeping powers to the government as well as private plaintiffs to affect what appears to be, or at least the thought would be, an immediate change in the availability of pirated materials on a given website.
And so the big change in this law, or this bill, if it would become law, would be the fact that the court would be allowed to simply order a website off the air based on a plaintiff's concern about piracy.
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
So, and what happens now? How long does that process take? Clearly, there are rules against copyright infringement, and something can be done. How do things work today?
Well, you know, as it currently stands today, you know, we've got a variety of tools within copyright law, for example, that allow for fairly swift but certainly effective methods to combat online piracy. As many of your listeners, indeed probably most of your listeners, will be familiar with, if anyone's gone to YouTube or any other site where people can share works of authorship, video, music, and what have you, you will come across eventually, if you're on YouTube, for example, long enough, a notice when you go to a given video saying that this video, this piece of music, this piece of authorship has been removed based upon a request from a copyright owner. And the legal justification, the legal basis for YouTube's action comes from what is known as the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which has in it a provision which has come to be known as notice and takedown, where effectively what happens is, an intellectual property rights owner advises a website that they are hosting, that they have on their website, information which is copyright protected. And when that notice comes through after going through a variety of fairly strict procedures, the owner of the website is more or less required to remove that information. So notice and takedown has been a very effective way to control unlicensed distribution of copyrighted materials. And again, that is a procedure that happens independently of the courts. Letters are literally sent and responses are made. Now, putting that aside, of course, copyright owners have had since the dawn of copyright law in the United States the ability to go into court and get a variety of orders, including injunctions, which are effectively orders requiring a given party to do or not do something. Parties and copyright holders and intellectual property owners have had the ability to go into court and get orders that would remove, for example, an offending work. Or prior to the internet, oftentimes you'd see books literally being destroyed if they had violated a copyright or a trademark. And those are powers that existed in the law prior to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which passed in the late 90s, and allowed for a variety, again, of effective tools to combat piracy, be it traditional piracy or the current version online.
But now what happens apparently is that notice is one of the things that's eliminated in the new bill, so that it would just be between the plaintiff and the court, and if the plaintiff, I guess, satisfied the court, down comes the website.
Well, yes. Under the Protect IP Act, as is currently written, and this was outlined in the letter that I co-authored with Mark Lemley at Stanford and David Post at Temple, one of the big concerns we have is that the ability now under this act, were it to pass in its current form, would be to allow the suppression of speech without what we call due process, without adequate notice and a hearing. The way that the law is currently drafted, and it is certainly the legislation that we responded to in this letter, not only the government, but potentially a private entity could go into court without having given adequate notice to a defendant, to the website that is alleged to be involved in infringing activities, and on the basis of that, in other words, without adequate notice, get an order that would allow, among other things, for that website to be delisted, effectively to be removed from the internet, and ultimately shut down. And one of our primary concerns, as outlined in the letter, is that without that proper notice and hearing, we are effectively suppressing speech in a way that goes beyond constitutional allowance. More practically, also, what it means is that the party simply would not have the opportunity to defend itself, to rebut those allegations. So if, for example, the government or the private entity got it wrong, the effect would be on this website potentially ending its business, because obviously an online-based business has to be on the internet in order to function. So one of our primary concerns is that absent that adequate due process, absent that adequate notice and hearing, we run the risk of severely limiting innovation, severely hindering the opportunity for businesses to begin because they could be accused of copyright infringement without having notice and therefore the opportunity to defend it and go out of business before they'd have the opportunity to go into court and say, wait a minute, this isn't right.
So you and the signers see the need to protect copyright. It's just that the particular provisions in this law are troubling to you. Is there a need? And first of all, is that right? But I do have a question after that.
Absolutely. There's nothing in this letter that suggests that copyright law should be eliminated entirely or that piracy is not an issue. Our concern is that this particular bill gives powers to the government and private entities that are far beyond what is necessary to deal with this issue, and those powers are granted without the opportunity of notice to the defendant, which violates basic constitutional rights regarding speech and due process.
Do you think the tools we have now are adequate, or do we need new legislation?
Well, you know, there's always a concern, and well, let me answer your question first in saying, for the most part, yes, I think they are very effective. They are not perfect. Notice and takedown is not a perfect process, and obviously there are issues involving attempting to go after websites that are not hosted in the United States. One of the big issues that you have, and this is not just in copyright law in particular, but on the internet generally, is that websites, as we know, are operate beyond traditional geographical boundaries. Websites may exist outside the United States that do business in the United States. A primary example of this, and one that has been dealt with legislatively, is online gambling, where we have websites, and we had websites that were hosted outside the United States where the activity was legal, and the United States, and states in particular, besides the federal government, wanted to prohibit or block their citizens from accessing those sites. Well, there's major issues regarding not only jurisdictional questions of whether a U.S. court can in fact issue an order against that site, but there's also questions of enforcement. And so there is an issue regarding how one would enforce an order out of the United States, especially where, again, in a given country, the activity that we in the United States would find illegal is legal. And so one of our big concerns here, again outlined in the letter, is that this law allows for the suppression of speech in a way that goes beyond and outside one of the fundamental ideas that the United States has been the primary advocate of, and that is free speech on the internet. We have laws in the United States, like Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, that shield internet service providers and companies like Facebook, social media, and so forth from being sued for things that their users say on their sites. And the idea is very simple, that if we make or if we allow those companies to be sued whenever a user says something that someone else doesn't like, those companies will cease to exist, because why would you go into that business? We in the United States have been the progenitors, the leaders in assuring free speech on the internet, and this law, without its due process protection, goes diametrically opposed to those principles, principles that we should be proud of.
And I guess this is a technical point, but I guess you would allow them to be sued. Your objection is to taking down their website before a due process of law is complete.
And without a proper hearing. That is our primary objective. Again, we're not suggesting that websites that are, in fact, infringing copyright should be allowed to roam free. The question is how they're addressed, and this bill simply not only is not ultimately wouldn't be very effective, but it has enormously dangerous consequences, especially, in addition, the opportunity for courts to issue orders that would delist websites, which for a variety of technical reasons could effectively undermine and disrupt how we communicate through the internet. And I don't mean in terms of what we write, but literally how computers communicate with each other.
The technical question of exactly how you do that. Well, David, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate it.
David Levine is an assistant professor at Elon School of Law. Just ahead, Linus is a pothead, Pigpen is a germaphobe, Charlie Brown is sexually confused. The Peanuts Gang, all grown up on stage in Raleigh on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.